I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, welcome to The Memo for Friday, August 11th, 2017.
Don't do the movie phone voice.
I'm trying to do the robot voice. I'm getting replaced with a robot, I'm told, so I'm trying to see if I can compete with the robot.
We're just looking into cutting costs. And,
and the robot's cheaper than me? Mm-hmm. That's pretty dang cheap robot.
Well, no insurance, no.
You actually got replaced 6 months ago. We just wanted to beta test it. Yeah. Everything you've done the last 6 months has just been kind of...
The real Brad is in cryo freeze in the back of the building.
What? Am I a clone? Mm-hmm. But I have all the memories of a...
I want to live.
I was wondering how cryo freeze actually would work for a human. I don't know the science behind it. So you see it in the movies.
We'll find out when they freeze out, thaw out Walt Disney.
Or Ted Williams' head.
Ted Williams.
And make him bring him back to life. He'll become the greatest hitter again in
the
baseball.
The greatest hitter who ever lived twice.
Ooh, nice.
I'll be his PR director.
I like that one. Yeah, he just won the job there. Like in Demolition Man, like they got him in this block of ice and they just like melt it and he's fine.
Clint Eastwood is frozen too. So
Clint Eastwood's not even dead yet. Or is he?
John Wayne. I think that's who I meant.
John Wayne, yeah.
I said Clint Eastwood because I was thinking we should probably freeze Clint Eastwood too.
They're made from the same mold.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Friday. Did I mention that? I did.
Yeah. The robot did.
The robot did.
The robot Brad mentioned it.
The robot Brad would know and not have to question it.
That's true, because I'm old and forgetful.
Yeah, you are getting old. But then you wear shirts like that, and I'm like, see, that's how we tell it's not Robot Brad, the handprint left on the desk.
I got clammy hands.
Yeah, we know.
Putting handprints on the desk. You know, see, this is my highlight green or highlight yellow shirt that I love, and Derek just doesn't like it.
Chartreuse.
It's not chartreuse.
Neon chartreuse.
It's like a neon chiffon or something. Chiffon lemon. No, it's not that. It's not quite that yellow.
Chiffon lock.
Chiffon lock. Mm-hmm. I had a cousin named Chiffon. Just kidding. Chiffon lock. Did have an uncle, a great uncle named Hosey. Have I told that story?
Please.
Yeah, go. I think I have, but I can't remember.
He was born Frontis Locke, but you know, this is way back in like the 20s or earlier than that, actually. And so they never, for whatever reason, didn't get a birth certificate. And they ended up nicknaming him Hosey. And then finally, one day, the census people come by and are like, hey, we need some official records on this kid. And so, you know, his mama named him Frontis, but when they made out the birth certificate, he's like, no, put Hosey. I prefer Hosey. So he preferred Hosey over Frontis, which, you know, to me, that's kind of a toss-up.
Was it spelt like Jose?
No, H-O-S-E-Y. Huh. Yeah, my great-uncle Hosey. May he rest in peace. It was a different time.
You didn't get that name? Wasn't like a family name?
No.
Is that like your real name?
No.
Is that what the H stands for?
No, the H stands for Harold, which is my grandfather's first name, my dad's dad, who died when my dad was young, so I never knew him. But, that's what the H stands for.
Should we check the birth certificate? It's really Bradley Hosey.
Bradley Hosey.
Maybe we just start calling him Hosey. And...
Please don't.
That's what we're going to call the robot.
Hosey the robot.
Mm-hmm.
And does not have a ring to it
does
at all.
Does everything Brad can do, but, you know, right.
Hello, I am Hosey.
Mm-hmm.
The Hosey 3000.
Yeah. It's like our own personal Siri.
And it gets you coffee, which I surely will not do.
No, you will not. You're selfish in that manner.
I am.
You only get yourself coffee. I appreciate how you didn't bring any in here today.
I'm all
out. You spilled that all yesterday nearly on my computer.
Yeah, I need to get some more. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Need some more coffee.
You're about didn't need a robot or you yesterday. I was going to murder you on our own.
I could just stare at my shirt for a few minutes. That'd keep me awake.
It's like the solar eclipse right there.
Which is coming up in a few days.
Well, that was the topical joke, Brad. Thanks. Jeez.
Well,
I'm looking
forward to it.
Are you? Are you going to stare directly into it?
The 21st. I remember one when I was like in second grade. I'm sure we've had some since then.
1960?
No. It's like 1984 or 3. Yeah. Anyway, it's been a while. But we had the little pinholes in the paper and whatever. Yeah.
Technology has not advanced much since then.
Not really.
No.
Yeah. What we got on the show today, Derek?
I don't know. It's Friday. What do you think we have on the show, Brad?
I don't want to assume the listener knows. Maybe it's a first-time
listener. I would assume Jenna Parsons will come and not bring us food.
I don't know. She hasn't shown up yet. I'm thinking it's because she's making my peanut butter and chocolate pie.
I will assume Scott Morris will join us and will bring sarcasm.
Yes.
And then I assume I'll tell you what's going on this weekend.
Okay.
All right.
With more sarcasm.
I don't usually ask for sarcasm.
What?
Just righteous indignation toward Brad.
That works, too.
All right, then.
M. Scott Morris is here with us. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing fine. And Danny, like a hard candy Christmas. How about yourself?
Great. I was listening to a little Dolly this morning. As a matter of fact, yes, I was. It was a funny story. My one of my daughters, she just realized recently that Dollywood is actually something created by Dolly Parton. She said years ago when she heard Dollywood, she thought to herself, I wonder if that's a Dolly Parton thing. Then she rejected that idea because it sounded so ridiculous to her. Then she found out it was actually a Dolly Parton thing. She just thought it was the craziest. I don't know.
I remember when she was on, years ago, and I seem to remember this, that she was on Johnny Carson and explained how she saw the Hollywood sign and always wanted to have her own Dollywood in East Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's ridiculous. And then, but then it was a good enough theme park to get my beloved Opryland shut down. So,
well, there you go.
We enjoyed one trip there one time.
I've never actually been to Dollywood. I should check it out, I suppose. Well, anyway, we're here to talk actually about a movie that you reviewed in the scene section this week, Detroit, or as we call it in Mississippi, Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah, it's set during a 1960s race riot, and you seem conflicted about how you feel about it.
I am conflicted because if it were a completely made-up story, I would know more where I stood. It's centered in this event. So I don't want to give anything away. And that was a difficult thing in writing this review. Something happens that legitimately draws the police to this hotel where these people are there. And all these people are lined up against the wall. And then for a while, they're just brutalized, terrorized by police. There's some National Guard on the scene, some state police, but mainly it's these three and this one security guard, but mainly it's these three Detroit police officers. And they're trying to find a gun, and they're not taking no for an answer, and they're beating people, and there's other stuff going on, horrendous stuff going on. And as it's happening, every single one of those characters is being terrorized. They have evidence of what brought the police there. And they know something about what caused the police to come there. And all they have to do is say it. And they don't. And it's like, what's going on here? But then you find out it's actually based upon true events, and then there's also a disclaimer that says, you know, nobody really knows exactly what happened there because the truth's never been settled. Yeah. And so there are all these conflicting accounts of what happened there.
Yeah.
And it's a very powerful scene except for that. It's a very powerful movie except for that, as far as putting the viewer in the place of somebody who is experiencing extreme racism and police brutality.
Yeah.
And so it's a powerful movie. It's an uncomfortable movie, a disturbing movie. I mean, sitting through that, I found myself wanting to create barriers between myself and the screen, but I was still throughout it wondering what the heck is going on? How is this going to end? How can this can't end well? How are these, you know, and pulling for these individual characters to make it through this horrible situation. Yeah. So I'm there. And so what I kind of realized in writing the review, actually, you know, how you don't know what you think about a movie until you write about it or something sometimes,
yeah,
was that my hang up on that one issue that I have is kind of like a jury where all the evidence is overwhelming, but there's a technicality. They weren't read their rights, and so the confession is thrown out. And so yeah. I realized that that's my technicality that I got hung up on. And while it still kind of bothers me, I think it's a good movie, but yeah. I think it has that goes beyond that flaw.
So it centers around these three young black men and these two white women, correct? Or at least this part in the hotel does. Or
well, there's multiple black right. men. There's like more than that. There's okay, like okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 4, maybe 5
okay, okay.
black men and that and the 2 white women. Okay. But then and then also the security guard who is black, he's kind of wrapped up in it as well.
Okay, okay. Anthony Mackie among those in it. That's the only name I recognize, to be honest. Yeah. Of course, he's been in We Are Marshall. He's been in the Avengers movies.
Yeah, the Marvel movies. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, and so you know, it's painful to watch. It starts off very scattershot, the movie does, and we kind of meet these characters here and there, and you don't know really what's going to happen until they all converge to this hotel called the Algiers one night, and then everything just stays right there with them, and you're there with them, and it's just it's a mess. Yeah. And then you leave it going like you've been through something.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's difficult to watch, but definitely some artistry there, but also definitely like one thing that just annoys the crud out of me that I couldn't just get beyond totally.
Yeah, and there's this one character, Officer Krause, played by Will Poulter, who's apparently goes a little too far, doesn't he?
Well, he goes a lot too far. He's the ringleader, and the way it's presented in the film, I mean, there's no way... The way it's presented in the film is he's guilty as he's a very guilty man of all sorts of crimes.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I don't want to tell anybody how the story turns out.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to spoil it.
And so, you know, but then also you don't know because it's a biopic now. And my issue is with all biopics almost, I mean, you got to go by how they make you feel, not by what actually happened, right? But then when you find out it is a biopic and this guy is painted in such a way, you wonder what evidence are they using to present that. And so it creates, again, some kind of distance between myself and the movie.
Yeah, well, you gave it a B-.
Which isn't a horrible grade because I don't think it's a horrible movie. It's that there's a lot to it that's going on. A lot of things are happening. It's well made, but it's got some weirdness to it that just kind of gets underneath your skin. And maybe, you know, I don't think they intended it, but I think it fits for a movie like this because, you know, like I'm a Law and Order kind of guy as far as if I live in a town where people were rioting and breaking in, I would say, well, let's stop that, you know?
Sure.
But then also you can look at it from, you can see that maybe that rioting grew out of something, out of years of treatment and neglect of something.
Right.
And so it's that lawlessness, I'm Law and Order, is a result of other types of lawlessness.
Right.
And
right.
so this is the way that it expresses itself.
Right.
At the same time, I don't want people rioting in the streets. And so you kind of left it though that both of those are true. You don't want riots, but you kind of understand why there might have been riots.
Sure.
And this is not a movie for anybody who loves easy answers. I guess that should come across now.
Right, I got you. Well, you can find the full review in the Thursday Scene section also at djournal.com. Scott, always a pleasure, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. This was a tough one.
I know, man. It looks like it.
I almost talked my brain into a knot.
I'm intrigued by it. I'd like to see it at some point.
It's a kick in the head, and then you think about it for a while, and then you realize you don't really know what was going on.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Be sure to check out the 2 sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. We've got Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with myself and Dalton Middleton. New episodes every Wednesday. You can find it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to check out this week's episode. Dalton has been going out to a lot of football practices as teams get ready for the coming season, so he's got plenty to talk about there. And also check out Double Coverage, an Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports podcast with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. New episodes released every Thursday or Friday, depending on their hectic schedules. And they'll provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. And currently the latest on the NCAA situation there at Ole Miss and the Houston Nutt situation related. Lots to talk about from both camps. Listen to that for free on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Also, you can get ready for your daily with the Daily Journal's news break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m. at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, and the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Well, we said she wouldn't bring food, and she didn't. Yeah. She didn't disappoint.
Thought she might bring that pie for me, but that's okay. I'll be patient.
Be patient. It's coming. Patient. Okay. It's coming. Okay. I would have brought y'all biscuits this morning. Charlie got up and made biscuits, but he realized 8 minutes into the baking that he had used all-purpose flour instead of self-rising flour. So I've forgotten what he called them. They look kind of like little doorstops. Mm-hmm. And so then he went to McDonald's and bought a sausage biscuit.
It all worked out.
Right. But I would have brought y'all warm biscuits.
Well,
woulda, coulda, shoulda.
I'm not the one that ruined the biscuits now.
Yeah, you take that up with Charlie.
Listen, no, I don't know the difference between flours.
What happened was, I'm guessing, is the biscuits didn't bake. You went for a walk, found money, and you were like, well, I guess we can go to McDonald's this morning.
I had yogurt and blueberries and strawberries. I did not have a sausage biscuit.
Very responsible of you. I had nothing. So.
You haven't had breakfast? It's the most important meal of the day. Breakfast.
I got to Cafe 212 and realized I had not had breakfast, so I had to grab a muffin. And
did you pay for it, or did you just steal it?
Yes, I paid for it.
Okay,
is it one of those blueberry muffins?
Yeah, those big ones that they were.
Lisa Martin makes those, I believe.
She?
I believe. Okay,
she
I
used to. I'm not sure.
Oh, does she not do them anymore?
Yeah, I don't know if she makes these, but she did. Yeah, I've had some of her muffins.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah. Well, as we approach the end of summer, football season is upon us, and your column this week was about tailgating food, preparing for it.
I had thought that I would write about tailgating food this past Wednesday, and give some recipes, but then I thought, you know what, let's see what other people are making that they have found. So I'm asking people to send me their favorite tailgating recipe, whether it's hot or cold, or it can be anything, a dip, a chili, a cocktail, a sandwich, finger foods, whatever they want to send in. And then on August the 30th, I hope to run those recipes and maybe make a couple of them and take photos of the ones that I make. But I hope that we get a good showing. I would like to have at least 20. So the information is in my column of how to get it to me. But for people who are listening to this and don't have a pen and paper, just send it to Jenna Parsons at the Daily Journal in Tupelo, Mississippi, and it will get here without a street address.
You don't even have to put a stamp on it. It's amazing.
Well, you do have to put a stamp. Now, letters to Santa, you don't have to have a stamp on those.
Or God.
Are you getting existential on me,
Derek? Yeah, I was trying to, but I guess it's too. I haven't had enough breakfast for that this morning, apparently. So that date is when again?
August the 30th is the day I'd like to run it. So the sooner folks get them in, I can start typing them in and deciding which ones I'm going to try to make to take photos of. The one that I submitted this week in the column is caramelized leek and spinach dip. It looks like, you know, the dip that you get in a lot of restaurants, it's artichoke and spinach.
Yeah.
Well, this is caramelized leeks and spinach. So caramelized leeks, you know, they're just onions, mild onions, have much more flavor than artichokes. So I found this dip to be delicious. And to make it healthy, it is healthy. It's low-fat sour cream. I served it with sliced cucumbers and baby carrots and endive lettuce. And then Charlie ate it with crackers, but I ate it with vegetables. He did have a couple of carrots, I think.
I like how you tried to make him sound like Charlie had it with crackers.
I just threw him under the bus.
You did.
And that's he did okay. Get up and walk with me.
You're out from under the bus. Your cook of the week this week is a local dentist.
She is.
Who likes making sweets. That seems so backward.
Well, yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah. Actually, when she was nominated and I called her, she really was hesitant to be featured because she said it would be a joke because she doesn't cook. And what she meant was she doesn't, like, make dinner every night.
Right.
She does the sides. Her husband will grill the meat or cook the meat, and then she will make side dishes or make a salad or do the chopping. She calls herself the sous chef. However, she does make some mean desserts, and she made some caramel brownies. She made some chocolate chip cookies that Patrick, she gave me a couple, and I took them home to my son, and he ate them, and then he asked if he could go and live with her.
No.
But she made a coconut.
How does that make you feel as a mother?
See, I don't make sweets. I don't make desserts, so they probably would like me more if I did.
The next time that you've had, because I think it's been a while since you've had anybody that's done breakfast foods, right? I can't think of a cook of the week that has prepared something.
I don't get breakfast foods very often.
But the next time that happens, I'm going with you.
Okay.
That's going to happen.
Okay.
I just want to go ahead and put that out there.
Well, now, you would like to have breakfast food, but you don't eat breakfast.
No. I do it on the weekends.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're doing that existential thing again.
I don't think it's existential. I just eat breakfast on the weekends and not during the week. But I want somebody to make some really cool waffles or something and come with you.
Like waffles and fried chicken?
Well, maybe. That's would be good. Fine. Yeah, but that's not necessarily breakfast to me.
It's more brunch.
That's a brunch thing.
Right. Yeah. South used to do that very well.
Nobody around here has... We don't have a great breakfast place around. We have Shockley's. And while I love Shockley's, and Shockley's is near and dear to my nostalgic heart, we don't have a whole lot of breakfast
places. Well, Fair Park Grill and Hilton Garden Inn both do brunch on the weekend.
True, they do. I just think if you go to Memphis, there's all these like elaborate breakfast places and or Birmingham or Nashville.
Nashville.
Yeah.
Son Patrick and his girlfriend Robin went to a place, and it had a funny name in Nashville, and you make your own pancakes at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And while I think that's kind of a cool idea, I don't want to go somewhere and cook my own breakfast. I don't want to go somewhere and have to make my own pizza. Yeah. If I go out to eat, it's so somebody else waits on me.
Gosh dang it.
And I'll tell you, the bill was like $35. So not only did they have to make the breakfast, but it was not cheap.
They know what they're doing over
there.
Apparently. They're milking it for all it's worth. All right. But the chocolate chip cookies that Dr. Shelton created for you were good, after going back from my long segue?
I did not have one.
Yeah, that's right.
But Patrick said, yes, she did. She sent me home with two chocolate chip cookies, and then she made a lollipop cookie. Where she takes she took a plastic candy stick. You could use a popsicle stick or a Kraft stick, and she put a little Rolo candy, Rolo's caramel on the inside.
Sure.
Put it on the end of the stick, wrapped the cookie dough around the Rolo, and baked it. And so after it cools, you hold it like a lollipop, like a sucker, and then as you're biting into it, you get this bite of gooey caramel. Right in the middle of this chocolate chip cookie.
She gave you the recipe for this as well.
She did.
Wow.
She did.
Now she gives you all these, and then I notice there's a mandarin orange salad just smack dab in the middle of everything.
She was kind of feeling guilty.
Oh, okay.
And so, actually...
What will my clients think?
Actually, I'm not sure about this, but several years ago, 15 years ago, when I was doing Master Gardener training, I got a recipe for a salad that a woman made one day for lunch. They fed us lunch when we were training, and it was called Wonderful Salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I submitted it to the Celebrating Hospitality cookbook that the Sanctuary Hospice House did, and they changed the name of it from Wonderful Salad to Mandarin Orange Salad, and I think this is my recipe.
Oh.
That's come back around 15 years later, I believe it is, but it's a delicious salad.
Very nice. Well, thank you for coming in today. We always appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
I think
me.
It's funnier when you don't bring Brad food, so keep it up.
Sad face. Want to remind y'all to check out the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast. You can watch it every Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on all the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Mondays about 2 p.m. or catch the replay later in the day. The 2017 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective and analysis on the news coming out of the state capitol. And now, we roll into the scene section stuff.
That we do, Bradley.
Entertainment.
That we do.
Weekend, Tupelo, things. I can't sentences together string.
Can't wait for that robot to get here. Hey, did you go to Down on Main last night?
Nope. Yeah. Had stuff to do.
That happens. You know what this weekend is? It's the 40th anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley.
Oh,
somber moment. Yes. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Tonight there's a kickoff concert for the Elvis Presley Fan Day celebration at 7 p.m. at the Birthplace and Museum with several ETAs. Those are Elvis tribute artists taking the stage. Tickets are $50, and you can call 662-841-1245 for more information about that. Every year, as we summer winds down, school gets back in session, and the events start to slow down just a little bit, I like to take one scene section and preview all the upcoming events from different arts organizations that are going on, and that's what I did this week in scene.
So we got like stuff going on at the Lyric,
for the arts symphony. Side of things, I do, symphony, dance and theater. So that includes Tupelo Community Theater, Baldwin Main Street Players, Pied Piper Players, Corinth, Oxford, sure, Starkville, yeah, as well as North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra, the Corinth Symphony, and of course Tupelo Ballet and the Civic Ballet and North Mississippi Dance Center. So
it's a good rundown. There's always something to do, man.
There is always the fall season starts. To do. And as you will see here, we will be very busy with things to do here very soon. First up, of course, is the Tupelo Community Theater production of The Robber Bridegroom, which will kick off their season on August 24th at the Lyric. And followed by that in September, there's another show going on, directed by potentially somebody in this room. I don't know if you've heard of them or not.
What are you directing, Brad?
Huh?
What are you directing?
Wait, what? Oh, no, not me. That no, guy.
Him, me.
Oh.
39 Steps.
The 39
Steps. How's that going?
Steps. It's going. Have yet to have the entire cast together yet.
That's unfortunate.
It happens.
Considering it's opening in a month and a half.
Yeah, you know, it's four people.
It's only like four people. Yeah, how hard is it to get four people together?
Well, you want to come in and wrangle them for me? I'd be happy for you to. I need a wrangler. I've got four people playing the parts of more than 50 characters in that fun show.
Remember who's in it? John McHouston.
John McHouston, Remy. Really good. I can't pronounce Remy's last name. I butcher it every time.
Should just go by Remy anyway. It's pretty good name.
It's like Cher or Sting. Haley Agnew and Ben Eakes in that production.
All very good actors.
That'll be at TCT Off-Broadway in September. Not tooting my own horn, but, you know, beep,
yeah,
beep.
You know. So
I want people to come.
Yeah.
I've set up a new layout in that theater that they've never used before, and I'm excited about that. So,
does Tom Booth know this?
Yeah, yeah, they're aware. I had clearance.
All right, so, Shirley.
Yeah. What?
I don't know.
It's our vector, Victor. And, of course, you can always turn into your scene and find out what else is going on this weekend as far as live music in the area. Always places to go to check out local and music from abroad playing live. Live, I should start calling it live dives.
Music from abroad. Derek, this is 2017. We don't talk about women that way.
Yeah. Where was I the other night? And somebody said, for a few months, I was abroad. And then there was a huge laugh, and he meant I was overseas. Now I can't remember where I was, but somebody said that.
Boy.
Oh, well.
Hey, so before we go, mm-hmm. I woke up Thursday morning to find a short text exchange from my teenage daughters whose rooms are like down the hall from one another, but they had to text each other. The last two, just read those, Derek. Read what
does
they say.
Anyone else hear someone walking around? Trinity says vaguely.
That's on the family text group that we have, and that was it.
Well, hold on.
Was anybody walking around?
How many people in your family have a phone?
All of them. Well, except Ellie. She's a little too young. So
I'm in a group with my the coach and the parents of my daughter's soccer team, and there are more icons at the top of this conversation than there are people.
There's only like six.
Good grief. All right.
Yeah. So
I'm just pointing that out.
It was about midnight that they texted in the group message.
Does anyone hear anyone walking around
upstairs? Which we've heard.
I thought all the bedrooms were upstairs in this house.
Theirs are. Those two girls, their bedrooms are upstairs, which is where we've heard sounds before.
So wouldn't she say, does anybody hear anybody walking around out in the hall or something?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that's what she meant. Okay. There's a long hallway that connects their rooms.
All right.
And that's the area where we believe we've heard footsteps before that we should not be hearing.
Have you or Rachel heard or seen the ghost, or is it just the kids messing with y'all and having this elaborate ruse going on?
Rachel has heard the footsteps more than once. I believe I've heard them a couple of times. I mentioned the weird episode in the little pool house.
Yeah, that's true.
That it sounded like somebody was up on the roof or in the ceiling of that tiny little, you know, 6x5 pool house.
I was starting to have a theory that the kids were just making the whole thing up.
No.
They had y'all going.
Well, then Ellie would be in on it because she keeps seeing the ghost and waving bye to it and inviting it to sit next to her and whatever else.
Yeah, I kind of thought she was the ringleader of it all.
Well, Ellie thinks she's the ringleader of a lot of things. She turns 2 on Saturday.
Wow.
How about that?
Happy birthday.
Time flies.
And she's gotten, now she's really good at saying mama, except she says it, mama. She accentuates the second ma, yeah, or something. Mama. And then I'll go, can you say dada? Yes. That's all she'll say. She won't say it. She won't say my name.
Child. All right. Exactly. I appreciate that.
In fact, my wife wrote down each of our names on a card, and she can point to which name. Like, point to Mama. Uh-huh. She'll point to Mama.
Nice.
Point to Dada. Yes. And points to it. I guess my name is Yes, not Dada. Because Dada gives her whatever she wants.
You live in a house full of women. All you, that's all you ever say is yes.
Yes, yes, dear. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fine.
All right. Good show.
Great show.
More next week.
Superb show.
Okay. We'll do it then.
Next Wednesday, we'll be back.
Sure thing.
For more.
Yeah.
And just a reminder, there's many, many ways to access this show.
That there are.
Perhaps you're listening at memo.djournal.com.
Perhaps you are.
You can also take it with you.
You could.
The podcast on your phone.
You could take us in the car with you.
Crazy. Yeah. You can download any of the podcast apps, or if you have an iPhone, you have a podcast app already. Mm-hmm. Just check it out on iTunes. And you can just hit the subscribe button, and you'll get notified when new episodes drop every Wednesday and Friday. Also, follow us on Twitter at djournalmemo. All the stories we talked about today you can find in your daily journal or at djournal.com. Follow the journal on Twitter at djournalnow.
Or for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling, we can send you your own Brad robot who can just recite the memo.
For $29, actually for $12.95, we'll just send you Brad.
But wait, there's more. There's not more, that's it. So, that is
not all. Available in stores. That the only way to get it is by emailing us. Yeah.
That is all for today's program.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Okay.
And please, we hope you have a great day.
Okay. Please shut down now, Brad.
Okay.